We've got Josh. Hello.
Hello, hello.
Or Joshua, depending on his mood.
Yeah, it really is that way. And somewhat depending what clothing he's wearing based on what he's saying too.
Yeah, you should see him in a suit. Apparently it stops people. So I think I like to set a bit of context before we kick off.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because people have listened to the whole podcast and I haven't even told them what the person does. So
that's a good place to start.
Yeah, so they can turn off the podcast in the first 5 minutes if they wanted, depending on what they're interested in.
Yeah.
So what's a bit of context? So what sort of do you do? What sort of hands? What different pots?
Yeah, what stuff are we doing? I'd say as a general theme, towards, I guess, ending up what I'm doing is just doing things that I'm curious about, doing things that intrigue me. And so what that's led to is I run a tech startup, which is specifically around marketing, entirely focused on helping New Zealand and the world's biggest companies convert their social media engagement into conversions. So what does that actually mean? So say you get an Instagram story tag, like an extreme example, you think of Adele, Ed Sheeran, you think about LA Lakers, you tag them in your Instagram story, you don't get a reply. It's a dead end. So these companies have all these, they're fighting for engagement. They get the engagement, but they're all dead-end experiences. So if somebody comments on LA Lakers post, they don't get a reply. So we can automatically reply to every single one of those interactions and lead that through a customer journey that otherwise would have been a dead end. So these massive companies can actually make something out of that. So that's it in a nutshell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it? I'm sorry. I was just thinking of a story with the Twitter bot. You know, when they, I don't know if it's AI
is
trained.
Is this the Microsoft one? I think.
Yeah, Mike. I think it went.
That came up the other week. I think. Oh, that was a shocker. Where, for those that don't understand or aren't aware of that, I think it was Microsoft. Correct me where I might be mistaken. Microsoft created a bot and pretty much the Twitter audience trained it. Now, just that statement alone probably gives context of how badly that could go, and it went as bad as it could have gone. Yeah. It turned it off pretty quick. Yeah.
So is yours like a sequence of steps, or is it like the AI is an intuitive?
To protect from those circumstances. So ours is very logic based, and that makes it very accessible for a lot of companies as well. So we're very firm in going, look, we don't do machine learning, we don't do AI. There's a price point for that, and we want to make this accessible to all companies. So in our case, so a quick example going is, if you message the Silver Ferns, or you message the Blues pages, or you message Hallensteins, you'll see it in action. That's an easy way to look at it. But ours is if this, then that theory. So if they click this button, we respond with this. If they click this, we respond with this. Or if they say this keyword, we respond with this. And so that way it's very controlled. And that helps around, it is a marketing channel and marketing tool. And therefore, you can optimize conversations. Because they can, if you plan for every conversation, price point goes up and it can go all over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, I'm thinking of... you know, like I do some back end stuff with like marketing sequences. If they do this, do that.
Yeah.
And the mind map that you had to create. Is that what you had to do? Did you have to have a web
we do that for every client at the very beginning.
Every client.
Every single client. So we got to plan it all out, because that means there's very firm strategy around it. Everything's considered.
Yeah.
You got to start at that. Otherwise, you don't see the gaps that you're missing and so on. And I was just thinking as well, probably refer. So we use Facebook Messenger and the Instagram inbox for these chatbots. So if somebody comments on a post, then we can like their comment, reply to their comment, and directly message them. Just saying, hey, thanks so much for commenting on our post. Really appreciate the support. Feel free to look at some other information if we can help out. Simple as that. Or it's connected to, say, a competition where we're doing a massive giveaway. Comment here and we'll tell you how to confirm your entry. Great, we've sent you a message, and it takes them through that. So it's all on platforms everybody's already on. New Zealand's like one of the world's biggest adopters of Messenger, so everybody's already on it.
That's interesting. So why do you think that is?
I think...
Stab in the dark.
Yeah. I think one is we haven't had big uptake of WhatsApp. And so if you look overseas, a lot of people, they're all on WhatsApp. And so UK in particular, they've adopted that. And I think that's around firm encryption that they have in security. New Zealand, I think we're pretty chill. We're pretty far away from the rest of the world. And so I don't think, compared to overseas, it's as big of a consideration. And so Messenger got momentum, and everybody just, well, everybody's on Messenger, I'll jump on it. Also, Facebook uses New Zealand to test new features often, and to actually give a, give a new experience or trial the market. We're like a little pilot country. We're so far away from the world. If it goes bad, it can't go wrong. And if it goes well, we've learned that and let's put it everywhere. And so I think Messenger was pretty early, very early shared with New Zealand and therefore, now that might be mistaken, but I know they have a track history of trying things in New Zealand.
Random.
And them doing it overseas. Yeah.
Because we're chill. We won't cause a fuss.
We are a chill country, eh? We really are. Yeah, it won't kick up a fuss too much. Not enough for global impact.
Yeah, well, I'm probably even next level. I'd wear flip-flops. I might even get to that point. I might even get to, like, flip-flop businesses.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Living it up.
Living the life, mate.
Yeah.
So, okay, there's we'll get into your story and stuff and why the hell you find that enjoyable. Because we're doing that web for every company, I have a meltdown. So you had the comment, how is it your software that triggers that, or is it still something that's built into Facebook that?
Yeah, so at an underlying basis, it's leveraging the Facebook Messenger API.
Okay.
And so they've opened that up. They were the first company to open that up in a conversation platform and go, hey, look, we've opened the API, see what you can do with it. And as a result of that, one, we have a direct integration with their API to build these out. Also, third-party platforms have created easy interfaces like a WordPress where you can now create your own Messenger marketing chatbot. Now, they make it easier, but it's still, as everybody's experience is listening to this, going, a bad chatbot experience is worse than having no chatbot at all. And so you've got to be extremely careful. But there's third-party platforms. One of the big ones is ManyChat. And so you could go into ManyChat, connect it to your Facebook page, and you could start designing chatbot experiences. So yeah, that's how it all works.
Is your goal to get bought by someone else? Because that's a challenging market, you know?
We have another side to the business where it's called ShopBot at the moment. Okay. We're thinking about changing it. So you know that early. It's initial name is ShopBot. And so ShopBot is where we've created a whole own platform where at a click of a button, your entire Shopify store will come up as a conversation inside of Facebook Messenger.
Okay.
That means every person who messages your business for a conversation, they're now shopping your store. You can also then create new what we call galleries that people can swipe through. You can add your FAQs, you can add about us, you can build your own entire chatbot experience. So we've developed that already. We're just completing the Shopify integration. So on that side of things, that's our big SaaS play as a company. Then we have our custom side where we're doing the likes of Hallensteins, sports teams, financial companies. We're doing all kinds of things, recruitment.
So where you get your suits from?
Partially, yeah.
Hallensteins goes right, bro.
Real plug, though. It literally, so the way that Hallensteins came about was because I had to buy a new suit. Went in, my friend was working there. I said, look, you know, I need help with the suit. He's like, what are you doing these days? I showed him. He said, oh, I need to introduce you to head office. And that's how literally it came about.
There you go, mate.
See, buy suits, people.
Buy more suits. You only deals. Need five different types. What, black, navy, tan, grey. And then you can match, mix and match, and you're away.
That's true.
Interesting. Yeah, I love me a bit. Hallensteins. I've gone to the Kmart life.
Hallensteins is brilliant.
Yeah, it goes well. Goes well.
Yeah.
So, okay, so that's an interest. Yeah, because I always wonder that, like, to be a tech player. Like, I think I made that mistake too. Like, I tried, not saying that what you did is a mistake. I'll give context.
Yeah.
I tried to build, so I'm building an online learning platform called Money Skills.
Okay.
Sort of let it stagnate somewhat because I'm spilling too many plates. But the objective was to make a socially interactive platform where you can learn and be part of groups and all the information's free.
Yes.
That was the goal.
Yeah.
Realize why the hell am I making a social platform when there's billions of dollars being spent on these different platforms? It's not going to be engaging. It's going to be frustrating.
Great question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're here with this innovative part. And I think the biggest differentiator is the implementation component.
Yeah.
Same thing with Salesforce. Salesforce, amazing CRM, really powerful. No one knows how to set it up. So they have implementation partner.
Yeah.
So you got the implementation component.
That's exactly it. Where it's going, look, it's all really complicated, coding and all sorts. We come in and do it for you to make sure you make the most out of your social media engagement. There's also Facebook's rules and policies. So we, fun fact, probably should have said this sooner on, but all good. Those that are listening get the real secrets. So every person who's messaged your Facebook page is a subscriber and messenger for 12 months from their last message. Oof. And so if you think, again, LA Lakers, use that as an example, you can tell I've got a target on them.
Yeah.
You imagine how many subscribers they have. It would be phenomenal. Now, when they are doing a new merchandise drop or they're doing selling of tickets, whatever that plug might be, imagine you sent that out to your entire messenger database. We get near 100% open rates. We've had click-through rates as high as 91.2%.
Hmm.
And so it's a way for you to continually engage with your audience. And that's where coming to your point around people's attention is already on there. You've already got the systems. They've already downloaded the app. You don't have to get people to download a new app by any means. You can just fully utilize that.
Hmm.
It's just, and big part of what we're doing is going around and just talking about it because people don't know it exists. But yeah. When they see it, they go, makes a lot of sense. We need to use that. And so we do it for you. And reason that came to mind was the policies. Because of those open rates, because of the click-through rates, that attention, if there were no rules in place, which there wasn't any 5 years ago, Wild West. And that's just damaging the users on their platform.
Yeah.
So there's very firm rules and policies in place to protect them so they don't go annoying everybody and then everybody leaves because they can't have that. So that's where we do it for you.
Well, I mean, I was similar to, you know, like when emails first came out, you had a crazy open rate because it hadn't been saturated by marketers. Marketers are very good at fucking everything up, just like you said. Yep. Safe to swear, by the way, I do. You don't have to.
All good.
And so I was thinking going the route of, you know, a text newsletter because it's going to have a high open rate, but then there's a cost per each text, so it's not really financially viable.
Yes.
Whereas you've got expensive. That messenger component that wouldn't necessarily cost anything apart from the ongoing subscription or whatever you're offering in implementation.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Where SMS, it's great for a blast and everybody's got a phone number, but you can't have a conversation with them. You're, and this is what, as marketers, happens a lot from what I'm seeing, is going, everybody's talking at their customer. They're not having conversations with them. And you compare that to like a friend or a family member. If there's somebody that you meet and they're just talking at you, and then there's another one where you have a great conversation with them.
Mm.
Who do you want to hang out with? Who do you want to spend time with?
Mm.
You can probably work that answer out. And so companies just talking at, because I guess it's not being viable to have a conversation like SMS cost. Well, now there's something out there that you can do that.
It's interesting. Yeah, I was thinking Discord, because you can have a two-way.
Discord's been getting pumped recently with all things Web3. I saw your recent Web3 podcast as well. Discord's growing, Sam? From all that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's NFT market and Twitter and Discord are usually all coexist. People might not know this, but there's you can have ad transparency where you can see ads on Facebook and you can see creative marketplaces. And there was this amazing thing. I saw it 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was exactly Messenger, except it was like one of those Netflix movies. So you know how when you make a call, we're like, what do you want to happen in this next step? Pick it. And the whole thing was a fucking ad.
Really?
And it went on this
great move.
Yeah, back then too. I was like, oh my God. Like, I might, too much. I have to make these different scenarios via video. But that potential, and I think, you know, businesses' propensity would be like, hey, I want to sell. Sell.
Yeah.
But in actual fact.
Close.
Yeah, close. Yeah, on the first date. It's like going out and like, hi, I'm Ryan. Let's go home.
Literally. Yeah, let's get married.
Yeah.
Right now.
Married, That's a better way to say it.
But that is the basis where we were talking to a company recently where they were just going for the close straight away for their ads and going, look, you've got a date. You got to build up the trust. You got to get to know each other.
Yeah.
You go, hey, you want to be my girlfriend? You got to build up to that. And so that's where it's going, hey, look, let's get to understand them. So a prime example where, say, clothing.
Mm.
Now, I like dark clothing. Always have done. Now, if you didn't find that out about me, then you're going to be spending money advertising to me really colorful clothing.
Mm.
Waste of money. Mm. You should know that doesn't resonate with me. Now I associate your brand with clothing that doesn't resonate with me. So your brand, I don't connect with anymore. That's a problem. Whereas if you ask just, hey, look, what kind of clothing did you like? Choose from these options. Choose the options. Okay. You can then create a lookalike audience in Facebook Ads Manager to target everybody similar to me where I've said I like dark clothing and this, 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 now run ads to them with people that dark clothing, because it's probably going to resonate with them. So it's very simple, just understand them, take the time, and then connect.
Because you could all, there's I can't remember the plugin Opus Partners as a competitor. I don't necessarily agree with the business model, but their marketing's out the gate. So yeah. I'll go and play around with it.
Yeah.
And they call me, I'm like, oh, hey, I'm an advisor, don't worry. But
yeah.
But I go through it, and there's a plugin that can give a personalized journey based on a person's interaction on that website.
Mm.
So I'm wondering, I don't know how you could do it, yeah. but you've got that data from the messenger, takes them to a direct spot, and that experience on the website is personalized based on the colorful clothing.
Yep. That would definitely be possible. It's about taking that, and this is where, how can you take the responses and information in a way that's compliant with security and privacy, and you take that and export that and have things evolve and change around it.
Yeah.
But that's a very, very real possibility. There's some websites in a simple process going, you know, welcome to our website, blah, blah, blah. Answer these questions and we'll change the whole website to show what you're after. So they complete the survey to enter the website, and then you have a number of websites available.
Hmm.
So that could be another means of doing it.
Well, that's the whole game, like personalization.
Yeah, like we live in a world where all the information's available.
Yeah.
Change it around me. And where people expect information straight away that they want on the platform they want it at whatever time that is. And that's the whole base going, if you're messaging somebody's Facebook page, you want to know X, Y, Z, then you need to be able to respond then, not 23 hours later.
Hmm. There's a lot of potential there. Yeah. I'm going to push a button while I'm talking.
Yeah.
So let's get in the story, and it sounds like we've got a similar approach to life and business. Well, to business so far. I can't make assumptions about life.
Well, we'll be exploring that shortly, I suspect.
Yes, brother, yes. So I always wonder, like, what led you to discovering your purpose? Or if you haven't yet, no judgment.
Yeah, yeah.
But what do you think was a pivotal point in your life where you're like, actually, I want to do something like this?
Beautiful question. Beautiful question. Well said. Yeah. So,
yeah, that beautiful question.
The beauty of it. From a young age, I was always like, look, I'm just going to do what I'm interested in. Like, pretty simple approach to life. So you're, I'm interested, kid, in this and that. Well, I had things available. I definitely had that. And so for me, very early on, it was sport. So I was playing football, incorrectly referred to as soccer. Nothing personal with New Zealand. But so with that, played that for a long time. Then go, right, now I'm interested about tennis. So then I did tennis. And I'll just continue that. And that led me to really learn about myself. And because I was doing what I was pulled towards, and then that turned into business. And so I was focusing around that. And then that understanding of what I knew what I wanted to do very early, kind of 15 years old, knew I wanted to be self-employed.
Hmm.
That combined with my family and I went through a number of very intense events, which were spoken about, and won't go into all detail, but we've had, like, we're talking meningitis, family member suddenly passing away a week later. Had so my mum, very open around this, she has stage 4 terminal cancer and had that for the last 4 years. So we had all these things take place. And that was just like pressure cooker in terms of, one, I had no time and energy to work on any business. But it forced me to grow. And so once I kind of found myself out of that, due to some great friends helping me through it and really going into stoicism and philosophies.
Oh, stoicism.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that was really, that was a good savior of mine at that time. And getting into all things, evening, morning routines, taking life seriously to grow, that put me in a position going, right, now I've discovered this technology. So I discovered that properly, founded the company in early 2018. I was in the right frame of mind. I learned about myself, what I wanted to do. That came together. And then that was my thing of, right, let's build a life that is full of passion and nothing else.
Hmm.
That I know I want to be self-employed. This is the thing. I just know it. Let's go. And so, yeah, that just went from there. And now I just live life through extreme experiences of, yeah, passionately doing what I want to do. And so that could be business, that is sport, that's music, that's anything. I'm like, right, I want to do that. going at it. But business is the underlying thing.
So what's the underlying thing within business then? What about being a business owner do you enjoy?
For me, as a deep underlying life philosophy to always go by, I was actually talking about this with my good friend of mine yesterday. It was actually my accountant, not the girlfriend.
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear that properly.
Could be blended. So with that, we were talking about, I lost my trail of thought a little bit.
I can't imagine why, brother.
So the whole basis of that is being, for me, a big driver is, what is my full potential? Now, that's limitless. So what would the best version of me that I'm aware of right now, what would they do in this situation? And how can I live life pushing my potential to discover what I can do? That drives everything in my life. And so business being a massive passion of mine combined with, I feel that's the biggest thing to push me every single day. I get to drive that, push that, discover it, learn, and learn more about what I'm capable of and who I'm capable of being. And I love that. Oh, it's the best way of life I've ever experienced. It's fantastic, and truly enjoying life in every single way, even with, I guess, say, these intense events that our family goes through. But I'm living life doing, I wouldn't want to be doing anything else. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, answer the question.
Yeah, no, you did, mate. But I'm just wondering, because some of the most successful people in the world have a means of compensating for some inadequacy or feeling.
Yes.
Because you didn't say, as opposed to, like, I enjoy it through the act of enjoyment. Yeah. I enjoy it because I could be capable of something.
Yes.
So do you feel enough? Like, do you feel...
Great question. Yeah. When I was younger, and I think this is where a lot of these stories come to, is that story of youth.
Yeah.
And as a child, how did you feel in the world, finding that place? And I think there's a life journey where you're authentically yourself as a child, and then society and other kids start, you're just trying to find your place. So you adjust and build self stories around that. And then as you grow into being an adult, you're trying to connect back to being that original child of full authenticity. So who picked on you? And so my thing was never being enough, never being, it was definitely, I didn't make the sports academy team. Why was that?
Loser.
Like, why was that? So that's how I felt. I was like, you know, who are these people to say I can't do that? It was always, I'll be successful, but not the most successful. I was never quite there. So what deeply drives me is going to be that, prove that to myself, but it's just, live fire up my ass and go.
Okay.
And so that has been, I wouldn't change that. That's the gift that I was given. And so now I get to build a very fulfilling life that I enjoy because of that.
Okay.
We'll
move on soon, don't worry. But
hey, good for me. I think, because this is stuff people need to talk about more. And going, look, what were the things as a kid that messed me up?
Yeah.
And that's changed things. And how do I understand that? And now how do I change my life around that and use it as a tool? It's good, man.
Oh,
you,
mate,
keep going.
Yeah, I love it. Like, if it gives you some comfort and camaraderie, my underlying belief is I don't feel worthy of love.
Yeah.
Because of key moments that happen.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
So then I would gravitate towards people where I feel as though I was indispensable because I was helping them in some regard. Hence why I'm like alive and engaged when we're talking about you, because that's my, I guess, superpower as a result of that.
Yeah.
So when will you be enough? What would it take for you to be enough?
That's the question. Part of me thinks that there's not a destination. There's definitely not an achievement, without a doubt. There's no, when I exit for 200 million, when I exit for a billion, exit for a million, they're irrelevant. That wouldn't change a thing. And the number of podcasts, another great podcast is Diary of a CEO by Stephen Bartlett.
Sounds familiar.
It's fantastic. And a number of the people on that where they're talking, when I sold my company for $1 billion was the most depressing day of my life. It's a common theme. And to know that from the outset is great to know, because that's that fighting for something. And so that's where it's accepting it within of internal growth, internal reflection. And that's like, as I was talking about before, asking those questions when you were a kid, what did you experience? Understanding that, having a coach to help you work through what is the internal stuff that's going on, what needs to be accepted or released, and processes for that, and so on. Mm. Living with it. At the same time, I'm okay if I never get over that.
Mm.
Because I know right now, that's been, as you're saying, a superpower. And I am pretty content with living with that. And that's helped me drive towards all this growth and experiences. And I'm extremely happy in life. Yeah, you can just, you can be my pal on my corner going, yeah, you're trying to change this up on me, but I'm living life good. It's all right. You keep driving me. So, hey, no problem. So okay. I guess there's those questions of, do you need to sort that out?
Mm. Well, has it been negative?
I think at times when feeling vulnerable, it can be of okay. questioning, like when I'm extremely tired, for instance, or run down, whatever that might be, questioning everything. And I think that's just going, look, human brain, you ain't working properly right now. Your chemical balances are off. You ain't got what you need. You're a bad source of information. But that's when that stuff seeps through and can take over in a sense.
It makes, I mean, I can see why you gravitate towards stoicism. Like if I was, let's say, you know, I was a kid and I experienced as though I wasn't good enough. And then I went on this journey of self-discovery to be better. And then I had key moments where pivotal relationships in my life were at jeopardy, or there was a significant tragedy. So you sort of, especially when you don't feel good enough, you might have a tendency to close off and to harden up.
Yeah.
Shall we say.
Seal off. Yeah. Self-preservation.
Do you find connections with either women or friendships are harder because you're not necessarily as comfortable with the worst parts of yourself in front of others?
I think I initially definitely did. I was very black and white in the logic, transactional. And that was because I wasn't willing to open up the emotion, not so much from those parts to myself, but from the intense times my family and I went through. If I let any emotion in, it's all coming in. It's kind of like when you go, say, when you go to Kelly Tartan's, there's that little crack. You go, if I let a little bit of that water in, it's probably all going to come flowing in. And I don't think I want to be, you know, I don't want to deal with that. And so that was a big challenge for me. So there was a time when, I was extremely shut off. And it would be, if I start opening up, it would just all come out. And letting that flow a little bit and feeling in a safe space. But another kind of thing that really helped me was being very firm in who are my friends. If you're not bringing value to my life, you're occupying space with somebody else could be that brings that value. Very, very firm transactional way of it, which came from that time. So that's cold where blooded. That came from.
You blink twice. Get the fuck out.
Wrong. Go on. But it was really going, who in my life is really serving me in my life, and going, you know, I feel that there's somebody else in the world that would be better to occupy the space of, say, my best friend. And so I would go through like a best friend every two years. There's not many people I'm connected to from school, all that, but as a result, the people I have around me right now, there's times I'll sit there and be like, this is the dream group of friends I always wished that I had. And now, like, my best mate, Todd Shirley.
Shout out, like, Todd Shirley, full name and everything.
Honestly, 100%. And that's going, it's just incredible. I'm surrounded by incredible, incredible people. There's a whole bunch of them. Ollie Such, another one. Short brother. So
Ollie, sounds familiar. Is he a salesman? Receding
Ollie
hairline?
Ollie Such. You said
like
it, not
a,
me.
Like a gun salesman? Like...
Ollie was
a stoic. Yeah,
he was the one that got me into stoicism, that got me out of the incredible rough place I was in.
And he just he's jumps in cold baths every morning with ice and stuff. And he started a new company recently,
Canine Heaven, where from his side, where he was doing the whole sales company and going through that corporate journey. When, you know, what does a life of passion really look like? And so this is where he then goes, I love dogs. What does that look like? Now owns like a massive doggy daycare center. So having those friends around you that go, hey, I asked myself this question of what does a life of passion look like? I then ditched everything I built as an entire life for 10, 15 years. And now I run a doggy daycare.
Yeah.
Like though having those people around you. So opening up, I find incredibly easy now around those people. It floods.
Interesting. Okay.
Because I've built the safe center around me where, or space and environment, I just let it all out, going, hey, look, mum's been having seizures today. Like, I'm not good. Mm. And they're like, yeah, I got you. And so that is a testament, I guess, to those tough times ahead, and going, Furman and friends made that environment to be open and vulnerable. Otherwise, I guess I maybe wouldn't have.
Yeah, sorry, Ollie, for the receding here. Like, I was just trying to like get in my. We've met a few times.
Ollie's fantastic.
He's definitely a very good salesman. There's no two ways. He's a reformed salesman. You know what I mean? He talks quite openly about how he was before and now how he's working on it. And he does love his animal, his dog. Dogs or one dog?
Two dogs. Yeah.
And his lovely partner as well. Yeah, it's all flooding back to me, mate. It's been a year or so.
No, inspiring individual.
Yeah, he's. Okay, well, we've dissected your whole personality, which is good. There's also, it's a challenge, eh? It's like, I think a lot of men make this mistakes in relationships is that I don't necessarily think it's that encouraged or supported to be your most vulnerable, authentic self. And what will happen is they'll wait for the moment where they're finally in a relationship where this girl ticks all these fucking boxes and you feel comfortable enough. She's good enough. She's this. I couldn't rationalize it away anymore. I'll let it out. And then you just become a little pathetic, weeping crybaby because you all of a sudden try to bench 200 kilos and now you're needy and now you're exposed and that sort of thing. Like, have you sort of seen that with friends over time or like different periods of your life it felt quite hard to open up and then suddenly you do and then people took advantage? Or
I see that in the mirror. Yeah. That's me. That's me. It really is. So interesting. Yeah, I think taking life really seriously.
Yeah.
I like, life isn't a joke. Is my mindset and going.
Interesting. We had the opposite. I'll just tell you right now, quickly.
Yeah, go for it.
Life's too serious to take it serious.
Yeah,
you'll hate that, but that's
no, the opposite. And so that's kind of where I was leaning to with it, and that. So yeah, perfect. That's a good. I haven't heard that one. That's a good one. Where I take life seriously. It's not a joke. There's things I want from life that I want to achieve and want to identify myself. And if I do the right things with consistency with the gym, music as an energy source, time out in nature, then that gives me energy to do this. That's how intense it got for me. Like, everything was planned meticulously to get the best results and optimization out of my life. Cost of that is very transactional mindset, very black and white, and that's where there wasn't that much fun comparative to focus on these things and then the rest is just free space. And I'm going to play with that. And so I was single I had no emotions to a partner for 5 years.
Cold-blooded fuckboy.
I was too busy working. It just went all in on taking life seriously. I haven't got time for that.
Gotcha.
And so on. And so also that, coming back to the whole crack in the Kelly Tartan's glass, it's all going to come streaming in. If I let somebody in, then all the emotion from the experiences with my family is going to come too.
Gotcha.
And not ready to face that at all. And so with all of that, it was just forgot about that side. And I went through, I was in a relationship for a year that didn't end well, was led to that same period with my family. It was aligned to that same time period. So that was really tricky. We were just bad match. And so I just shut that off completely. And then was seeing somebody, started seeing somebody like 2 months ago for a short period. But that was the first time I actually had feelings for somebody in a long, long time. And that's where it came to that conclusion that you just shared around, you know, life's too serious to take it. Was it life's too life's serious too to take serious it seriously? And so that was a beautiful experience for me, and that helped me open up all this stuff and be like, hang on, I like that life. I realized what I was saying no to that whole time. And life works all for wonderful weird reasons, but yeah, so I relate to that massively, and I guess I don't see it too much in my friends because I wasn't able to identify it within myself.
Gotcha. You know, the mad thing about that personality is you can execute and be very successful. And then exactly that diary of a CEO, I've sold my thing for $1 billion, now I feel nothing.
Yeah.
And just like, poof.
Like, where's the confetti? Wasn't there something at the end? Like, you know, called his business partner. He was like, "How do you feel?" He's like, "I don't feel good, man." He's like, "I thought it was just me. Like, what's going on?" Like, you know the guy who wrote The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah. Mark Manson. Eh?
Yeah, that's right. So he was on the podcast and he wrote that book and he's like, my goal was to be a successful author, release a book, do really, really well. He said, I did it like straight away. And he was like, well, okay, I've done that now. Okay, now I just feel pressure to do another one. He said the day that book went viral was one of the hardest, worst days of his life, which inspired him to write the second book called Everything is Fucked. Because he's like, you know, what's this whole concept? Like, wait, what? I've achieved the thing. Aren't I meant to feel fulfilled? Like, where's the thing at the end? Yeah. I'm writing another book. I know what that's going to be on. So, yeah, it's a very spoken about concept.
It's man, like, I'm fortunate that I had no idea what I wanted, so I traveled around the world, did everything I could think of.
Yeah,
you know, girls, drugs, living in a tent, fucking not working. I worked 8 weeks in a few years.
Yeah,
realized how unfulfilling it is.
Yeah.
So it was like even Mike Tyson said not too long ago: people that think a lot of money is going to make them happy has never had a lot of money.
Yeah.
Or the other one: wherever you go, there you are. So that's the whole thing. Is like, you know, the moment I loved my life was the moment I stopped bullshitting myself and did things courageously, where I bitch out all the time, but like I chased the thing I love and I surrounded myself around people where I incrementally expressed my vulnerability and then I feel safer and stronger. Cause it's like, everyone knows you don't go in a gym and you don't try and squat like 400 kilos, but for whatever reason, oh, now I'll show everything. No, every day is an opportunity.
Yeah.
Like right now, like it's
daily training.
Yeah.
Incremental. It doesn't have to be big, heavy loads. You can just slowly feed it, and then suddenly it's habitual, and then it's just happening. Yeah.
What's your? You probably optimized the fuck out of your life. So I should probably ask you what's like either a morning routine or a strategy, a way you approach work, whether it's like important, not urgent, categorized like that.
Yeah. First things was evening and morning routine.
Okay.
Most important part of your morning routine is the night before. So that way, when you wake up, the world isn't controlling you and forcing you to be like, right, now what am I going to have for breakfast, or what am I going to be wearing, or this or that. What's in my schedule today? What's on my to-do list? If you do that all the night before, you wake up and be like, I'm already controlling the day. I control my life is the emotion, the feeling that you sit into. So that would be the first thing. The second one being cold showers.
Oh, yeah, all about that.
Oh, I love a cold shower. It's
do you debate every like
cult?
You start debating, like, I'm like, yeah, well, I could just have a hot shower this morning, and then I just like get in there.
Yeah, the more I don't want to do it, is the more reason to do it. Yeah, and being like, the my emotions don't control me; I control them.
Yeah,
and that's the basis of my body doesn't want to do something, but my body isn't in control. I use my body to achieve an outcome. I'm choosing to do cold water even if my body doesn't want to.
Yeah.
You're reassuring who's in charge.
You're a savage, eh?
And then the third one, I'd say, the top three. The third one is meditation.
Oh, yeah.
Meditation and stillness. So I've done the extreme side of, I've done 3-day silence retreats.
Not the 10-day, you pussy?
Haven't done the 10-day yet, no. Oh, have you? Yeah. So
it's fucked. Props. Even 3 days is mad.
Yeah, like the whole experience it's highly intense. So I've identified there's a direct correlation between my consistency of meditation and my rate of growth, of success and personal growth. If meditation goes, that wavers as well, stagnates. If the meditation, even if that's 5-10 minutes, find a way that easily works for you, then the growth and success just comes in, and learning about myself and all these experiences, they just start turning up. So those would be the big three.
Well, I'm doing it in the pot while we're talking. I think that's the important thing. I mean, people can, it's the most valuable thing I've ever learned is how to meditate.
Yeah.
But people often do it wrong, thinking that they got to go sit in a cave and do a kumbaya session.
Yeah. I can't think of anything, but I keep thinking of things. It's navigating thought, not removing it.
Yeah, and you can do it any time, and it doesn't necessarily need to be focused on breath. It could be painting, it could be football,
yeah.
It could be even, you know, you're doing deep work with your project. But the main thing is trying not to think doesn't work, but changing your focus to something else, and then observing thoughts as an actual object.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm preaching to the choir, but like it's...
No, it's important to talk about. And it, like I refer to that as doing something meditative. That could be sat there meditating. That's the deepest, most intimate, direct way that I think also gets the most value. You'll get the most value out of that. But there's that middle ground of doing things that are meditative. If that walk on the beach or somebody else that's kickboxing or whatever that might be, that place you feel stillness and
yeah
quietness.
And doing it every day. That's why the breath is the reason. And even like Tony Robbins, he was a relationship coach for a period of time. And he had a huge waiting list and he couldn't get people in, and they had problems with their sex, you know, their intimacy. Yeah. And he said, okay, go breathe in unisons.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people, I didn't expect to talk about this with bots, but...
Look, that's a full circle right there, right? Let's talk about bots and sex.
Yeah, sex bots. Bring them together.
Yeah.
But like, I think that's a lot of the mistakes people make in intimacy is thinking it's like a... there's a systematic way you can do things. You know, you've got to learn how to move a certain way, learn a certain type of position. But in actual fact, it's about that level of safety, communication, and being in that moment and having that variety and emotion and all the other good stuff.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to consider, are you going through life or are you experiencing life? Because you're just thinking about this beautiful thing you're going to achieve, your billion-dollar company, or like what is your fucking life, bro? The amount of successful depressed people, I'm just like, I don't want your life. Meanwhile, everyone's looking at you on Instagram thinking you're the bee's knees. I'm just like,
going and it's that's the messed up thing of when you get to the end, everybody's looking at you going like, oh, the end, should we say, and big quotation marks, but you're successful by society standards, so you must be happy. And I think everybody, it's very well spoken about, I think, online, but still, it's still impacts you, because I think it's just, it's playing on the human brain. You're just playing on it. No matter how much you know, understand it, you get it. Even me, like I've understood all these things. I know those concepts. I've shared those stories of the highly successful people unhappy when they get the success. Still, the brain would be like, I wish I had that life.
Oh yeah,
and it goes, come on now, come on.
It's training. It's just acknowledging that in order for us to evolve to be where we're at, we needed to have a propensity to focus on the negative. Because if you don't freak out when the bushes rustle, you're not going to be here tomorrow.
Yes. So it's called survival.
Yeah, survival.
Survival instinct.
Survival. You just got to train yourself. So we should probably talk about marketing, because we've gone about 44 minutes, believe it or not.
Yeah, that went quick actually. Jeez.
So wait, I'll be interested with your business. So 2018.
Yeah.
Everything was fucked, but you were an executor. So
well summarized.
How did you start? Like, what were you doing? Like, okay, I've got this idea. How do I find business? Or
that first thought is, I don't remember. I first came across the technology, messenger marketing as a term, came across that in late 2016. Went to my my best friend at the time and was like, look, I want to set up a business. You want to set up a business. Let's just look for things. Came across this technology and I was like, as a business model, makes complete sense. Also as value to businesses, not everybody can run their inbox. They can't convert their social media engagement. Like it brings a lot of value. And so I was like, yeah, let's do it. Then that's when family stuff all happened. I was like, that's paused. I'm not doing it. Like, I don't have capacity. And then directly after breakup with that partner over that year.
They're wonderful breakups, I swear to God.
The
change your
breakup
life.
That threw me into, no, go and start that business. Yeah. Where in that relationship, sharing some detail now, and that one of the things that was said to me from that partner was, you don't have what it takes to be self-employed.
Oh, that's fuel.
And I thank her now for that, but that was fuel, all right. And so...
right, and I'm not good enough. Boom.
Yeah, and so as soon as that came to... ran its course, came to an end, best for the both of us, that was when, right, that company, I'm starting it, let's go. And just went out. So the main thing was, first, I had to learn how to do it. I had to learn how to provide it as a product, because I'm not a software guy at heart or at initial stages. And so with that, learn how to provide the product firstly, and then identify where in the market it actually brings the most value and is most well received because it's things that it's technology people haven't seen before. It's going, well, that's a area of concern, or I'm going to put budget into that. What returns am I going to get, and where does it fit in the market? Then designing resources around that, and then going and talking to them and getting on clients. And it was the whole thing of doing that as a side hustle whilst having my full-time job, so I didn't just jump into it and go, right, now make it work. Did it in a staged way and kind of had doing software sales, and it got to the point where I was like, my business is being too hurt because I don't have time to work on it, and it's at a point where I need to take the plunge, but it's all internal. Didn't feel ready. Not ready yet. So working a business is a representation of you. And so if you don't feel ready, the business ain't going to grow. If you're feeling ready, then you can take that on. So when I quit, I remember I was freaking out. I'm like, what am I going to do for money? Oh, yeah. No, what am I going to do? I'm going to die. And you very much quickly realized that it was all a story of that security of working with somebody else. Like, I'm fine. I'm all good.
Park benches are comfortable.
And then COVID, came along.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I got self-employed September 2019. And then exactly. Oh yeah. And so a few months go by, I'm like, you know, self-employed, we're growing, a few clients go, clients coming on, kind of in that position. And then COVID came along, and that's where I was part of a community called NZ Leaders.
Oh yeah, Ben Maris.
Yes, yeah. So fantastic group, and he really helped me out.
You're part of that. You're in it? Were you mid cap?
So I'm not in it anymore. But that was where brought me into the business, going, look, this is a business that he believes in and what we're doing, and very impactful for the people in the room, bring a lot of value. And so brought me in, and I created a chatbot forum where NZ Leaders members can complete a survey to identify what help they need through COVID.
Oh, yeah.
And so in doing that, somebody spotted it and was like, look, I think you need to talk to the team at Zealed because they've got a vision around Facebook Messenger chatbots. So we started talking, and then basically we were like, within a month, we founded a company together. So co-founded between myself and Zealed, and that's IzzyBots. And clients come over, and we've just grown that from there. So it was a very intense journey, but I think anybody going self-employed, it is. Yeah. And that's why the internal stuff's so important, and knowing who you are.
Yeah, there's a quote, but I don't think I'll do it. It's a bit dark. It's it's that, you know, that Dan, I think Dan Penn or whatever, the trillion man. He's a bit volatile, so I'll leave that one out.
He's a someone character.
Yeah, I don't think I resonate with his philosophy in life.
I'm not a fan of him.
No, I'm not going to quote
him. We appreciate how full circle that went. That was great.
Yeah, you know, we navigated this communication, mate. It's exactly important.
See, now if you were just talking at me, wouldn't work.
We just had an IzzyBot experience, didn't we?
Exactly.
How do you get clients then? Like, what's your, like, are you the salesman and they're the tech? What was his name again?
So Zealed. So IzzyBots is its own entire entity and company, and so we've got all of our own staff that supply on the service and complete the work. So for myself, my role is running the company, obviously, but a lot of it is through partners, and so forming partnerships. I can't name them, but partners with digital marketing, social media marketing agencies, and media companies, where they are working with the client already running successful campaigns. Our technology comes in to supercharge what they're already doing. And so that's where we can come in and look at the likes of, Fulton Hogan, working with Mosh. So Mosh is a partner of ours, fantastic organization. They are helping Fulton Hogan to hire 1,000 people over a very short period. And so with that, they're doing it through social media and driving traffic to the inbox to have conversations around recruitment. So many conversations.
Yeah.
You got to recruit 1,000 people that are a fit. How many conversations do you need to have 10, at 000. Scale? And so that's where we can come in, and we can automate that process, educate people, get them to learn more about Fulton Hogan and so on. So that's an example. We're working through partners. And then it's just through relationships, really, and networks, events, podcasts, sharing, this is what we do. If you think that works for you, let's have a chat. But this is the technology.
It's smart. I mean, any business owner that's starting out, they need to find a fisherman.
Yeah.
you go out there, oh yeah, I'm the best seller. I just had this cold call from a guy in Romania. It's Andrew Tate, don't worry. You don't want to say about Andrew Tate. He's a marketing genius, but he's very controversial. So he calls me and he's just selling. He cold calls, he's very good at it, I could tell, and he helps provide leads for financial advisors. I was like, nah, our phone just rings. Like, I don't have to, you know, go out of your house.
Fantastic.
But the important thing is, instead of going to individual clients, is find a person that you can add value to that has access to hundreds of your clients. And it's mutually beneficial, where they benefit from your ability to deliver, or they solve a problem that your clients need solving, and that's exactly what you did with your partnerships.
That's exactly right. Like we provided technology.
Ben Maris, smartphone model.
Yeah, sorry. Oh, you've definitely spoken to Ben. That's been on air, mate. Shout out, Ben. Oh, he's fantastic. He loves that smartphone model, and he's got it. He's got that model nailed. I learned a lot from that one. Because that's where, like, for us, we're providing tech that, well, one, around strategic partnerships as a whole, we're providing what they can't achieve on their own without big investment. But we come in and go, look, we will sell it for you. Mm-hmm. We give you all the resources. We've got proven processes, everything. We're not just somebody you hire to develop it. No, we will sell it, identify it, process it, deliver it, manage it, the whole thing. And you make money out of it too. So it's super easy. You look great in front of your clients and it gets you better results.
Mm.
And so looking at strategic partnerships, being really concise and identifying what do they need from you and making sure it's easy. Because if it's hard, it ain't going to happen. that's a massive life philosophy thing, kind of coming back around that being, it's meant to be easy. It's meant to be easeful. If it's really hard, the world's kind of telling you, look, need to look around and see which direction you need to go in, because there'll be a path somewhere made out for you, as opposed to trying to go through the thick bush.
That's true. Yeah, I didn't even want to be first. I don't know why people want to be like, I'd rather be first in the ideas of the mind of people, as opposed to first to market. I think it's like the 25 immutable powers of marketing, some book like that, and it talks about,
heard of that, haven't really, yeah.
Mortgage HQ, Andrew Malcolm recommended that, and they're like,
yeah,
the best financial marketing outside of Opus.
Yeah.
He's just like, oh, I'm gunning for 20,000 leads next year. I'm like, what the fuck?
It's numbers.
Yeah, teach us the ways, brother. Yeah. So just on the, like, I'm interested from a staffing standpoint. I imagine with technology partners, and to get that price point, you might have to outsource outside of New Zealand.
Yeah, so in New Zealand, the challenge that we have is that no one knows this exists, let alone people working in the industry. we share, like, with these social media agencies, some like New Zealand's biggest, go, didn't know this existed. And so finding talent in New Zealand is very, very, very challenging.
Yeah.
But also, the New Zealand market hasn't had the maturity of the technology for those experts to be the best in the world. And so what we've done is we've built a global team of experts that present at the biggest conferences in the industry, brought that global knowledge of experience, especially in the United States. Like I said, it's been around since 2016. It's a mature technology that's proven. They have the experience. Well, let's help New Zealand benefit immediately from that experience. So we've got a team of global experts in that regard. And then we have a team of experts in the Philippines where we can provide more accessible for the SME New Zealand market as well. It's really refined now, great quality.
You know how to spin it, yeah. You learned that from Ollie, mate. He's a wordsmith.
He's one of my best mates. You got to keep up with it. That's the thing. Otherwise, he'll run circles around me.
Yeah, no, he's definitely a person that can execute and deliver on sales and stuff.
Mm.
Him and I didn't vibe in the end, but I had a lot of respect for what he's doing. So, like, and how he communicates. Because you made that sound amazing. You've got these global partners. You've got these people in Philippines. So what like, is it 5? Is it 2? Is it 100? Is it
It's definitely not 100. That's for sure. So we've got 3 global experts that lead on projects and complete the real big meaty ones. Then we've got 3 developers in Philippines.
Yeah.
And then we have our whole Shopbot that I was referring to, project on the other side of things, where that's full development. We've also got, say, marketing manager in New Zealand. We've got marketing assistant. We've got copywriters, designers. There's a big array of the team.
Consultants that
bring it all together.
Like contractors, or do you have like staff on salary?
There's
or?
A balance between the two. So one, it's going influx and when being really lean. Why have fixed costs when you can have lean ones that are adjustable? So that's where it's based on project demand. So that's the contractor side of things, but then full time on the key requirements.
And then you got to keep bringing it in and then checking in on people and then go bring in some more business. And
that's where the partner program comes in really valuable, where you get to that point. So running the company and looking after existing clients and looking after the team, processes, growing the business, sales, you're focusing on delivering, and so sales can drop off because you've only, as me, I've only got so much time. And so that's where the partner network comes in really valuable. And going, they know what their clients are after, and they're in eyes on top of that as well. It's not just on me. So that's a great way in growing a company from my experience.
Oh, smart. I mean,
and also keeping it to a lifestyle that you want as well. Like I'd still put only in tons of hours, but yeah, it's different. There's good hours being put in, but it's from a space of that's what I really want to be doing. It's not out of control. It's not, I'm forced to, it's I'm wanting to.
Was it hard to delegate? I struggled, man. I mean, that was the biggest mistake of my professional career.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I trust this person, but I'm just so focused and I'm so committed. And then I'm realizing I was the worst person for the job.
Yeah. Those are the questions you need to ask. As running something, you need to delegate. You can't, otherwise you're not scalable. No. As much as you want to be, you're not.
Yeah.
Unless online courses, you could argue you definitely are, but even then, whole bunch of the team. But also, if you don't delegate, you're taking an opportunity away from somebody to learn. And so that's a big thing I learned from my coach, going through delegation. If they're doing a 7 out of 10 job and you would do a 10 out of 10 per se, they're doing a better job. Because they're completing it and they're learning and growing. And that's one thing I've always seen. A company is like a school, but people are getting paid to learn and bring value to society. So I used to do life coaching, business coaching, impact coaching, whatever you want to call it. So integrating that across the company, I coach all of our team to help them grow. That's people growing is one of my biggest passions.
Is it?
Okay. Love it. Absolutely love it. Like, that is a happy place. And so I get to provide that to the team and challenge them on things and help them through a bunch of stuff. So a lot of the team meditating now, for instance. There's things like that, yeah. So that's been really, really special, big time. So delegation comes into that.
100%. I like it. I was saying on last podcast, it's like, okay, you're a clairvoyant, you can predict the future. It's like, oh, I know exactly all the potential scenarios are going to happen in the future.
Yeah.
So then why don't I tell this person what they should do that I hired because they're better than me at their chosen competency. So I'll tell them what to do. I'll predict all the future. And then when they're in battle, they don't know what to do because they're just relying on me.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah.
So had to learn my own lesson. But I think, you know, as you say, giving responsibility and power to a person and freedom without judgment. If they make a mistake, how do we make it better? Not that you're a piece of shit.
What did you learn? What did you learn? How are we growing from it? How are we evolving? That's the only core questions, really.
Sure. Well, we're at our hour, brother. So
that was quick. Thanks
very much, man. Oh, flowed, mate. But how would they find you? And who should find you? You know what I mean?
Yes, the ideal too. I mean, anybody's welcome to find me, especially around LinkedIn. So Joshua Luthwaite, my last name stands out like a sore thumb. It'd probably be on some image on here. And so that's my method. Our website's www.izzybots.com, IZZYBOTS.com. But in terms of, I guess, ideal clients around IzzyBots side of things, it's definitely if you're getting a lot of social media engagement, you're getting a lot of messages that you need to better manage, or it's just too many messages for you to manage. That could even be 5 messages a week. That could be 500. If you just need support to provide a better experience to your audience and better connect from that engagement, then yeah, reach out. We can just show you what it is and you go over there.
You might teach meditation as part of it.
Maybe.
If they're down. All right, cool. Well, thanks, mate.
Thanks very much, Ryan.